When I was sitting there thinking about what it is that God is wanting to say to us, a whole lot of different thoughts ran across my mind. I want to just read you a few of them. First thing on the list was renewing the mind. That was the first thing that rose up in my spirit. Second thing was authority and grace. The part about grace that I want to emphasize before I really get into this, what I'm going to say to you this morning, I want you to know that I say it with as much grace and mercy, and I pray that the Holy Ghost ministers it to you with grace and mercy. There's not any part in me that is trying to be judgmental at all. Sometimes as a teacher, when the word comes forth, it's like Gary has said, Pastor Dave has that humor, and that's kind of like the enzymes that help us to digest the word. A few days later, you may go home and check yourself out and, hey, where did all these cuts come from? I don't remember being cut up like this. Well, you were being cut up. It was just with so much love that you didn't realize it. Well, I have to admit, I don't walk in that kind of love yet. And plus, I walk in a different anointing. As a teacher, my objective is not only to instruct you, but to bring you to that point of wanting to do something with what you're learning. If you're just sitting there becoming a big head of information, that doesn't serve you or anyone else. This message that is being taught from this pulpit is not being taught so that you can have a big head. Amen. Amen? This is not some intellectual discourse. That's not what we're here for. If that's what your idea of being a Christian is, there's a lot of other places that you can go and fulfill that. And I'm not suggesting that you go there. I'm just suggesting that this is not the place for that. This is a training center. And when you come here and you occupy this seat, you're here for a reason. You're saying, I want to be trained. You know, for my wife and I, we moved from the state of Florida to the prayer center. Now, we had been receiving teaching from the prayer center for years before we came here. I incorrectly stated a date a few weeks ago taking the offering how long we've been involved with this message. I was 10 years wrong. I had said at that point that we had been involved with the message since 1999. And my wife said, did you realize you said 99? And I said, no, it was 1989. And she said, well, you may not want to correct yourself because it sounds a little bit better, like you've gone somewhere in that shorter period of time than if you say the longer period. So this message has actually been chasing me down for years. And there were times when we would come across a tape here or there from Dave Roberson Ministries and we'd listen to it and it would change us. And for whatever reason, it seemed like it was some elusive thing to try and contact the ministry at that time. This was in the early 90s. But eventually, when we kept coming back to praying in tongues, we kept coming back to being changed on the inside of spiritual maturity. This is the place the Holy Ghost led us to. And he did it in such a way that only God could do it. And I didn't intend on saying all this, but I'm going to finish saying it anyway. It was through a newsletter that we came across that the church that we're going in is going to in South Florida. And we saw the title, Dave Roberson Ministries. And immediately, I want to see that letter. I picked up that letter. We read it. We took it home with us. Had a prayer request on the back of it. I think I probably filled up 2 pages on that prayer request. Filled it out, sent it into the ministry. And I'm not going to say that this is going to happen every time. Probably it's not. I'm sure the Holy Ghost has intervened with it. But if about a week later, I get a phone call, and it's Tim Stemple. And he said, Pastor Dave is going to be in a little place called Immokalee, Florida. You should be there. And this was, I think, 1998 at the time. So I went there, and that just began the whole process of really getting set with this message. I am a firm believer in this message. But I go back to what I said at the beginning. It's not a message that you watch from the grandstands. It's a message that you get involved with yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of the message is Rules of Engagement. We've gone through the book of Ephesians, and Gary has painstakingly dissected verse by verse. Hasn't it been good? Haven't you learned? Well, now it's time to do. Now it's time to do something with what we've learned. And hopefully, for the majority of us, we're already doing something. And if you're already doing something with this, I want to encourage you, do more. I'm going to read a few. I've learned from Gary, it's okay to read. And it helps me to collect my thoughts a little bit. The book of Ephesians, and remember how he said that the book of Ephesians and the book of Joshua parallel each other. The book of Joshua in the Old Testament is parallel to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians and the book of Joshua both give God's mind for taking possession of the promised land. That's what we want to do. We want to take possession of this land. It's ours already, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. It is already ours. But we have an obligation to go and take possession of it. Now, for the children of Israel, they had a physical land that they were looking at. They had a physical land that they were instructed by God to go and take possession of. Ours is not a physical land that we can see. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Our objective is summed up in the second prayer Paul prayed to the Ephesians. I want you to look at this. Turn over to Ephesians 3. We're going to be flipping back and forth from Ephesians to Joshua. So let's start out in Ephesians first. Look at chapter 3. And we're going to look at that prayer that he prayed in chapter 3. Just look at the last statement of the prayer. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all. Everybody say all. All the fullness of God. Now I want you just to focus on that just for a second. What's Paul saying here? Is it really possible for us to walk in this? That we could have all the fullness of God available to us? And if so, how in the world are we going to get there? Because I can tell you something. I'm not living there right now. And just like in the book of Joshua, it's already mine. It is already mine. And I want to live there. Do you want to live there? Are you tired of where you're living at right now? It's like I've heard several times by different ministers. The definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing that you're doing right now that you've always been doing and expecting different results. If you continue doing the exact same thing that you have been doing, guess what? you're going to have the exact same future that your past. They're going to look identical. You could look back and look and say, this is what my future is going to look like, because you're doing the same thing. Let's not do that. Let's make the decision that we're going to have a different future. Amen? I want to walk into this revival. In order to walk into this revival, I have to change. And there has to be some drastic changes. So what I'm proposing to you is this. The promised land for us is walking in all the fullness of God. This is our promised land, and it's ours. But we have to go to war to possess this. We have got to go to war and put to death anything inside of us that is contrary to the new nature that He gave us. Anything. Anything. Now, I keep getting this picture inside of me, so I'm going to go ahead and share this. I wasn't going to do it till a little bit later. When Joshua and the children of Israel looked out across that land, I want to draw a picture for you. When they looked out across that promised land, just picture a nice starry night. And they look out across that land, maybe over on the left side, what do they see? Maybe the Hittites. They see the lights from their city. Over on the south, what do they see? Maybe the Hivites. If you close your eyes and you look on the inside of you, whatites are there? There are ites there. I don't know what ites there are. Lyingites? Deceitfulness of richesites? Love of moneyites? I don't know what there are, but there are ites in your land. And up until this point, and in my land, I know there are. Up until this point, what have I done? Well, if I haven't taken the sword and gone out after them in an offensive attack, you know what I've done? I've made a treaty with them and decided we'll just live peaceably together. And you know, when the children of Israel went into the land, that was not God's instruction to them. God's instruction to them was not make friends with these people. His instruction to them was not make treaties with them. If you read the book of Joshua and you study that, you're going to find out they killed them. There was bloodshed. There was war. Look back over at Joshua. This verse it's right in chapter 1. And this was the rules of engagement that God gave to Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 3. I'm just going to read the first two verses also. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Look over at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, as long as the children of Israel stayed where they were, did they enjoy what God had given to them? No, absolutely not. What was necessary in order for them to enjoy all the fullness that God had given to them? They had to pick up their swords. They had to go into the land and step by step, following God's instructions, kill all of the inhabitants. Was it bloody? I just can't imagine in some instances. Now, in Jericho, the first thing they did was marching around the city, and then they raised their voice to the Lord and the walls fell. Then they burned the city. Was there destruction? Was there was bloodshed? There was people dying? You know, we're so far removed from that. We kind of read that sometimes in the Scriptures, and I think we don't realize what kind of war those people really fought. There was pain. They were inflicting death on people. But that was their land. And that was God's instructions to them. What if they didn't do it? What if they just stayed where they were? Never going into the land. Never going to war. Deciding that we're happy with where we are right now. I believe their provision would have dried up. They would have never known. Follow me. Never known what it was like to enjoy what God had given them. Never known it. Now, I can tell you one reason why God's leading me in this direction. A lot of it has to do with what my wife and I have dealt with over the last 6 months. What we've dealt with is something I wouldn't want anybody to have to deal with. Part of our battle, well, the crux of the battle was this. My wife was attacked by the enemy with cervical cancer. And when it first hit us, when we first heard that diagnosis, I want to tell you something. It pretty much took me off my feet. Why was that? There wasn't an image inside of me at that moment of her living. The image inside of me was seeing my wife, seeing me burying my wife. If you have that kind of image inside of you and you don't do anything about it, you're going to bury your wife. And again, I want to go back and reiterate this. I in no way mean to say anything this morning to hurt anyone. Because I know that there's people within the sound of my voice that have lost people to cancer. And this is not a judgmental message. I want to encourage every person that hears this, whether you're listening through by the computer or whether you're sitting here in front of me right now. You do not have to be beat by the enemy. In fact, everything that God could ever do to ensure your victory, it has already been done. All the fullness of God involves that. But until we do what we need to do, and that's what we're going to get to before this message is over with, to walk in that fullness, until we do it, we're still going to be at the enemy's, under his hand, if you allow me to say that. And I don't intend to live there anymore. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to live there anymore. I'm not going to live in a place where at any moment he can come along with something else and take me or my wife out. I'm not living there. And if that's where you're living at this morning, you don't have to stay there. Because that's not where God wants you to live. Is it easy? None of this is easy. Now I go back now to the images of war. There's bloodshed. There's pain. There's hurting. You're going to go to war, not against something on the outside of you, but against something that's on the inside of you. And I'll tell you something. There's some more pain in that I think, than on the outside. The children of Israel were charged by God to uproot those inhabitants in the land. And that's what we're charged to do. We have to uproot those things on the inside of us. We have to do it. Now, part of our problem has been this. When something has attacked us, we've had the mentality through a lot of our background where we came from in churches that I'm going to come forward, I'm going to get prayed for. I'm going to come forward, I'm going to find the man of God, and he's going to get the devil off of my back. Well, you know, that only works so far. Especially for those of us that have really been pressing into God. If you've been pressing into God, it's time for you to get the devil off your own back. And I say that with all love. But that's what God expects of His children, to grow up spiritually. To grow up, to take responsibility for who you are and what He's given to you. I know I'm leaving the bottom line out of this. How do I do that, Brother Mark? Well, that's the punchline. So you have to wait to get to the punchline. Likewise, we have to take possession of what God has already given us and uproot anything within us that's contrary to our new nature. Turn over to Ephesians 1:3. I was thinking about this last night. How many times, and believe me, over the last 6 months, I've had several opportunities to measure this on the inside of me. How many times have I gone to God and asked Him? Now follow me on this because it may run a little contradictory to what you might think. Asked Him to heal me. Several times. Well, let me propose this to you. If I'm faced with a mountain, what am I supposed to do? You speak to that mountain. You speak to it. You command it to be removed from you and cast into the sea, and you don't have any doubt in your heart. I think a lot of times we go before God, and believe me, I have this image on the inside of me right now of the time I did this. We go before God, especially in a situation like I was in, where she was hurting. And it almost came across like I was begging God. Like He didn't want to heal her. Like He hadn't already healed her. I remember one particular instance. And I'm not going to go into all the details of, you know, the attack. Why give glory to the devil? That's not what I'm about. But I remember one instance where, you know, she was on chemotherapy, radiation, chemotherapy, the combination, radiation every day, chemotherapy once a week for 7 hours. It was a very tough regimen. I remember one instance. She was, just bear with me. She was in the bathroom on the floor. I was trying to get her to stop throwing up. My first prayer came out begging God. Have you ever been there before? Your first prayer wasn't prayer at all. How much faith was in it? Zero. No faith at all. And I'm not condemning you. I'm talking about me right now. I had zero faith at that moment to get that thing off of her. And that's what God told me inside. In a loving way, but in a stern way. There's no faith there. I can't do anything with that. I can't do anything with that. You have to give me something that I can work with. So I gave him a faith confession. And I commanded that to get off of her body. And within a few minutes, it was gone. But where was I at? Was I at that position of strength from the beginning? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I venture to say that if we took a poll in this room and we asked each one of you, the percentage of people that would say, I would probably do the same thing that you did, Mark, would be pretty high. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but I'm saying that because I want the light to come on. I want you to look at something. We've been in this message not for 2 or 3 years. We've been in this message for years. Listening, praying in tongues, fasting. My wife and I have been on more than one, and I'm not going to say how many, but more than one 40-day fast. We're not just novices at this. And the devil came and thought that he was just going to take my wife out. How dare him think that? What was it in me that ever gave him the idea that I was going to let him do that? Well, apparently, he thought he had a pretty good shot at doing it. And you know, if I stop right now and we let up right now, he's going to come back and can try to convince us again that he's going to take her out. You know, because, well, it's cancer. You know, cancer, it could just spring up any time. Baloney! It is not going to spring up any time. We are done with cancer. We have defeated cancer. And we have sent it on its way. And I'm talking from what we have done. The hours that we have spent doing what my punchline is today. And my punchline is this. Father, you sent your word and healed Debbie. And delivered Debbie from all destruction. Father, you did send your word. And you did heal Debbie. And you delivered Debbie from all destruction. Father, you did send your word. And you did heal Debbie. And you delivered Debbie from all destruction. Father, you did send your word. And you did heal Debbie. And you delivered Debbie from all destruction. Jesus, you bore Debbie's sickness. And you carried Debbie's pain. And by your stripes, Debbie's healed. Debbie shall not die. She shall live the abundant life and declare the wonderful works of the Lord and fulfill all of her ministry. I can't tell you how many times I've said that. I can't tell you how many sessions, how long those sessions were of just saying that over and over and over and over and over again. When I started it, when I started saying that. First picture inside of me, boom! There you are at the funeral home. There she is laying in the box. Weeks before that image was gone. It's gone now. I don't see that anymore. I don't see her losing this fight. And I don't see her impaired in any way. There's still some things that's trying to hang on. They're not going to hang on. We drive those things out in the name of Jesus. Now the problem is that this is so contrary to how the world lives. But if you will just grab hold of the message that Gary's been giving us, we're species of another world. We are. We think that because we live here, that we are limited to the same things that the world's limited to. We're not. And that's where we have to renew our mind. When I was sitting there yesterday, after God said I had the word for today, and I was trying to figure out what that word was, all of a sudden, I told my wife, I said, we do have the Bible on MP3 now, right? And she said, yes. So I said, load Joshua up on my MP3 player. So I listened to Joshua last night. Actually, I was listening. The first time I listened to it yesterday. This verse that we're about to read, this verse, it was almost like it just exploded right in front of me. And I knew that's the word. So go back to Joshua. We're talking about renewing your mind. Chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This was God's instructions to not born again people. There are unborn again people. But He knows that their thinking is going to have to change. And in order for that to change, they're going to have to look at the law day and night. Book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. The word meditate, very interesting word. I'm going to see if I can find it here. The word meditate in the Hebrew, it means to murmur, to ponder, to imagine, to meditate, to mutter. To mutter. To speak. To talk. To utter. Look at what He's telling them. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. You're going to mutter this. You're going to say it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You're going to take the word, you're going to put it in your mouth. Day and night, day and night. This is how you renew your mind to think like God thinks. It doesn't just... This is what He said to me after that explosion inside of me yesterday. My children are guilty of doing only part of this. They study, they read my word, but when it comes to completing the circuit, they fall short. They don't put the word in their mouth continually. Have I not told them that in doing so, they make their way prosperous and will have good success? until they take the time to complete this circuit, they limit me in what I am able to do on their behalf. We're limiting him. We're limiting. We're studying it, but until you put it in your mouth, until you say it and you complete that circuit, that's whenever it becomes part of you. And something that Jerry had said whenever we were talking about the armor of God, and instead of, we know what the armor of God is, I'm not going to go make you turn back there. But if you'll recall, in his teaching about the armor of God, he talked about the shield of faith quenching all of the fiery darts of the enemy. And then he talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Word there is rhema, not logos. And a lot of times, I've even taught this myself, that the Word in that case really does what the shield is described to do, quench all the fiery darts. And that was my mistake. But in order for the Word to become rhema to you, and I'm speaking from my own experience, it's going to start out as logos first. Somewhere along the way, in the thousands of times that I said the logos, rhema came. Amen? It starts out as logos. That's how it did with me. But somewhere, I don't know, there's no formula. Is it 1,000 times, Mark? Is it 10,000? I don't know. But somewhere along that line of starting out with those words seeming like they just fall to the ground, somewhere it became rhema to me. And when that happens, she doesn't die. You know when it's rhema because that's when you have what you say. Don't stop until that happens. I think that's part of the problem. We get started in something, and I think, was it this Wednesday you were talking about microwave, the microwave society? If it doesn't happen within the 60 seconds before the ding on the microwave, we stop. I'm guilty of that. I want it to happen. I want it to happen yesterday. Lord, why does it have to be so hard? Well, son, remember all the years that you spent living your life for yourself? Do you remember all those years and all that time that you had for your mind to get conformed to the image of the world? That's what we're having to fight against. That's what we're having to change. All those years. And now all of a sudden, you want to pray a simple prayer and you want the answer and you want it within the 60 seconds. It doesn't happen that way, folks. And he just brought this to my attention. Remember, this is offensive weaponry. We're taking the land in offensive measure. Don't do what I did. Please. Don't wait until she's diagnosed with cancer to start trying to change that image inside of you. We sit in such a wonderful place. We listen to the truest word that I've ever found. Otherwise, I would have never have moved from Florida to live here. You don't make that kind of commitment unless you know what you're moving for is truth. And that's what we move for. But here's the problem. I think Gary called it a velvet noose. And it's exactly what it is. It's a velvet noose. We can sit in those chairs and listen to filet mignon revelation, but it's only revelation to you when you've done the work yourself and made it revelation. You cannot live on Pastor Dave Roberson or Gary Carpenter's revelation of the Word. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I know for myself, when the diagnosis came, what was the first thing I wanted to do? When I looked inside of me and I saw the camps of the Hittites and the Hivites inside of me, and I knew I was in trouble, I wanted to run up here and put her on this green line and get this thing off of her. Unfortunately for me, at that moment, I had too much revelation knowledge to bring her up here and get it off of her. It was my responsibility. I had to do it. And unfortunately for me, I had waited to the point that my house is on fire and I've got to put it out. And at that moment, it felt like I was sitting there with a garden hose trying to put out a fire in my house. Don't do what I did. Don't wait until that happens. We have the Word that we can plant on the inside of us and have this revelation working inside of us of wholeness. I said it earlier. We go to God and we pray for healing, for Him to heal us. Go back to Ephesians 1:3. Is this okay this morning? Is it all right? I'm certainly not trying to beat anybody up. It is only to encourage you. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I read this earlier. All spiritual blessings. Everything has already been given to us. The land of promise is right before us, and it's ours. And just as God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, that is what I've given to you. So this piece, yeah, that's yours. This piece, yes, that's yours. You have to take your foot, step on the ground. If there's anybody standing there when you step, kill them and take the next step. If there's anybody there, kill them and take the next step. And keep going. Because it's yours and those people are squatting on your land. They're squatting on your land. What do I have to do to get them off? Well, what is your Hivite? What is that ite? Take the word that gives you the promise that corrects that thing or that drives that thing off. Put it in your mouth and you drive it off. Do you have an understanding now when Gary talks about we've come to this, it's really a fork in the road. We've come to this point. You're going to go on with us and receive revival, or you're not going to go any further. This is the place. The rubber meets the road. You're going to do this, or we're going to go on. You know, there has been so many words come forward about the fast going faster and the slow going slower. And that we're not supposed to even stop any longer and take the time, that there are going to be others that are going to help those that fall behind. We've got to keep charging. We've got to have this mentality in our mind. This is war. We're going to win this. And I'm going to go step by step and take my land, it's mine. It's mine already. This preaches real good on Sunday morning, but I'm telling you what, Monday comes, Tuesday comes, Wednesday comes. It doesn't change because you're not sitting in this environment. You've got to take this home with you, and you've got to do what we haven't done before. Now, admittedly, again, I have to tell on myself. I said this the other day whenever I was taking up an offering, receiving an offering. There have been times that I sat in the back bedroom, made the confessions. At that point, the ite was the love of money. Serve money. Guilty. Probably not the only one in here that done that. Wasn't creative about it. Just took the three verses that Gary used. Why recreate the wheel? And I sat down and I attacked that. And I spoke the word. And I spoke the word and I said the word. And I just kept saying the word and just kept saying the word. And yes, I started seeing success. But you know what happened then? Just like the children of Israel, we see a little success. Did you see what we did at Jericho? We're going to go to the next city. I'm not for sure which one it is. The next city, Ai. We're not going to have to take near as many people with us. So what did they do? They went up there and they got their behinds kicked. You lay down, you see a little bit of success. And that's what I did. I saw a little bit of success. And all of a sudden, I've arrived. I don't have to do that anymore. Well, the unfortunate thing, that taproot on that sycamine tree, it'll grow back on you. And it grew back on me. And the next thing I know, I'm starting to make decisions based on not what God told me, but what money told me. And I'm thinking, didn't I get past this already? Yeah, but you stopped. And I think that if you'll check yourself, that you might have taken a bite of that apple yourself. It's easy to stop. It's easy to let up. You see a little bit of success and the pressure's off. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise God. Oh, the pressure's off. And next thing you know, you're back to spending your time doing the exact same things you did before you started confessing. And you're doing the same thing. And you know what happens? Whatever it is that you charged out of that land has set up camp again in that land. It's sad but true. You have to be diligent about this. I don't want to be diligent about it. I want it to just happen. I just want to come up here, and for those of us that... Oh, well, I'm not going to say that. I want to come up on the green line and somebody just lay hands on me and it'll be gone. Well, hopefully we've gone past some of that. But for those of you that are still there, forget it. Just forget it. You've heard too much. You really have. You've heard too much. Now, I'm not going to... If you have to come up here, come up here. But keep in mind, you've got to do something. You have to. If you're going to survive whatever it is that the enemy has launched against you, you have to do something. It's going to take your time. It's going to take effort. It takes time to fight a war. It takes your effort. It takes your dedication. You're not just a soldier part-time. There's no part-time soldiers. You have to do it, and you have to be diligent with doing it. And if you are, step by step, you're going to kill those ites. And you're going to have another step. And just because you see a little success there, don't stop. Because the minute you stop, that's all you have. And plus, those things are going to start coming back on you. Keep going. And get that mentality. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop. I'm going to continue. I have found now, after these 6 months of living this way, it is much easier now for me to stop and for the word to come out of my mouth. Much easier. It wasn't at the beginning. And Gary can attest to the fact that I've called him a couple of times and just totally fell apart. And I'll tell on myself one more time. One of those times, I had an OR moment with him. And it was just like he slapped me across the face and he said, "You better get a hold of yourself. They're just going to die." I'm not sure if it's exactly those words, but it might as well have been. "You better get a hold of yourself or she's going to die." I don't want to ever find myself in that situation again. Feeling like I'm charging uphill against an army that's coming down on me. And I don't ever have to. But I have to continually put this word in my mouth and in my heart and renew my mind and take possession of the land that belongs to me, so that I can experience all the fullness of God. Can you imagine walking around and you have all the fullness of God manifested? Do you know people that are going to walk by you are going to know that? They're going to know that. They did with Smith Wigglesworth, just getting in his presence. They would say, "You convict me of my sin." Something was so strong. The presence of God was so strong on that man. Is that revival? Yeah, that's revival, folks. That's how we get there. That's how we get there. I was listening to Gary talking about a book he had read about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if I'll quote this correctly, but he didn't go 30 minutes without praying or reading the scriptures, one or the other. Was it reading or praying? It was praying, 30 minutes. The rest of the time he was speaking in tongues. He always had his Bible with him. He would read a chapter before he ate. This is a man that was completely consumed with God. His new nature developed to the point that people would feel his presence when he walked into a room. You know, there have been times that I've been up here ministering, whether it's offering or what it was, and it felt like I was walking through the mud with my boots on, and then that door would open and Pastor Dave would step out that door. And you could feel the spiritual atmosphere in this room change. That's where he's walking. Now, if I walked out that door, I don't think the spiritual atmosphere would change very much. And I'm sorry, it's just an indictment against me. But that's not where I want to stay at. And I believe that that's not where you want to stay at either. You wouldn't be here 8:30 Sunday morning, got all dressed up, came across town, because you want to stay the same way that you are. You wouldn't do that. And I'm confident that the majority of you sitting in those chairs, and those of you listening, I'm confident that there's such a hunger within you to be changed. Such a dissatisfaction with where you are right now. Folks, you can have more. You can have all you want. And I believe you're going to do something. Take the time. You know, over the years, I've come to realize prayer, confessing His Word. It just doesn't happen because we want it to. It happens because you make a conscious decision. You schedule your time, whether it's prayer, confession, fasting, whatever part of this message that you need, you're going to have to schedule it. Put it in your schedule. I'm guilty of that myself. I plan on a certain amount of time, but do I sit down and say from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, I'm going to do this? I used to. I feel like at times, let me say this. I've got a CD that I've got in my truck. It's the prophecies. A lot of the prophecies from last year. And I just let that thing play. You know, not all the time. Occasionally. I'll listen to it. Do you know how many times prophecy has come forth about revival? I want you just to think about that. I sit and listen to that. How many times I hear prophecies about revival? Do you know if Pastor Dave was just making this up? Just making it up. Oh, I think that's a good idea. We'll have revival. We're just going to have revival. I think that's a good idea. You know, over the last 20 years, we wouldn't have the thousands and thousands of prophecies telling us about revival. Nobody could put it on that long. Can't. I mean, at some point, even after a year, maybe, it's like, okay, I was just kidding with you. I just made that up. Think about it. Just think. I mean, just in the natural. Use your mind. Thousands of times. For me, it was just last year. And it just dawned on me. One day I was listening to it, it just dawned on me. Do you know how many times He said that? How many times? If you're not convinced by now, my gosh, what is wrong with you? We are having revival. We are. There's just no doubt about it. Even somebody that was marginally, you know, a Christian could listen to the prophecies and say, yeah, 20 years of that prophetic word coming forth, I believe it. They are. But it isn't going to happen just because it's going to fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. It's going to happen because, and not just because he or he spend the time necessary. It's because we spend the time. I encourage you one thing. Let's start this if we're not already doing it. When you're by yourself, we are having revival. Just start saying it. Just start talking it up to yourself. You're going to have to get yourself believing this. If you haven't believed it yet, you're going to have to get yourself believing it. We're having revival. I'm having revival. I'm having revival. Talk about it. Get your mind renewed to the idea that I am having revival. I am having all the fullness. I have all the, right now, I have all the fullness right now inside of me. Now, first, when you say it, falls right to the ground. Well, after maybe 10,000 times, it won't. Praise God. Have you heard anything that I said this morning? I hope so. It has come with all the love that I have. And as a teacher, my goal is not just to come up here and give you things that you can't use when you walk out the door. I want to be different. You know, you might be at the place that you just need to stir up hunger. God, I just stir up that hunger to want. Even if it's to want to change. Start there. I want to be hungry. I want to be hungry like that. When I first got saved, it was 1989. I had grown up in church. I'm going to stop here. But I grew up in church. Nobody ever took the time to give me the message of salvation, but I could read, so I can't blame anybody. But it was just religion. And I walked away from it, like many of you did. Got into all kinds of sin. Horrible. Hate it. Still have nightmares at times about it. Tormented. Came back to the Lord in 1989. Had a miraculous transformation. Miraculous transformation. God did something in me. Changed me. I was so hungry. First year, fasted. First year out of the box. I got up that year, actually it was November of 89, going into 1990, got a hold of Dave's tapes. Meditation, imagery, and delivery. Can you imagine in 1990, you just got saved, and those are the tapes that you get? Mark, you should be a spiritual giant by now. Well, I, like you, have stopped along the way and made some roadside rest stops. But I say that to say this. I was hungry. I was so hungry. I love God so much. I still remember. I wasn't married then. I still remember sitting in this beanbag chair, just loving on the Lord, thanking God that I wasn't going to hell. I want that now. I want that hunger now. I want to be so hungry that I can't stand to go an hour, 2 hours, 2 days without spending time in His Word and in His presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. We'll see you back here 10 o'clock.